Be seated. It's been a long tradition in the Church of England that one of the Sundays following Easter we will consider the subject of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. In our Bibles today, and this morning, of course, we began at what we call chapter 10. But in the original, there were no divisions into chapters and verses. So we do well then to consider what's been going on in what we call chapter 9. And the question that dominates those verses is Jesus from God? Or not? Is he a prophet or not? Is he the Messiah or not? Is he the Son of Man who God will send as judge over all the world or not? And now, following all these questions, we have a parable about shepherds and sheep. So what's the connection? The answer is that in the Bible, the picture of the shepherd and his sheep is frequently used to describe the king and his people. In our modern world, we would never think of describing kingship in this way. But in the Bible, the ideal king is depicted as a shepherd. This is especially so if you remember in Ezekiel chapter 34, which was perhaps modeled on the shepherd boy, David, who became the king after God's own heart. In a world where they knew about the intimate relationship and contact and trust between shepherd and sheep, this was their preferred way of talking about kingship. And we need to remember this while we're looking at our subject this morning. In that gospel reading that Millie has just given, we see two pictures. First, there is the picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And then, the picture of Jesus as the door or the gate to the sheepfold. From these two pictures, there flow two of the great I Am sayings of John's Gospel. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the gate. And I invite you to look with me at these two pictures, though I think we'll discover that the two pictures are really one. First, Christ as the Good Shepherd. This provides us with the main picture. He calls himself the Good Shepherd, and that word good in the original also has a meaning of attractiveness. Goodness that can be seen, goodness that can be appreciated. How are we to understand goodness in this passage? One way of answering is to contrast the Good Shepherd with the other characters in the passage. First, there was the stranger. The stranger doesn't know the flock. Nor do the sheep know him. They don't know his voice, and so will not follow him. The true shepherd has intimate knowledge of his flock, and we're told calls each one of them by name. And recognizing his voice, they follow him. Now just pause, think. This picture of Jesus and us his flock, and he knows each one of us by name. Fully, intimately, completely, knowing the things that please him and the things that don't, knowing our faults, our weaknesses, our strengths, our joys, all that is wrapped in that thought that he knows us by name, and he still loves us. Next character in the passage is the thief. He doesn't enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way. His object is to steal, to kill, to destroy. He's thinking of his own gain. By contrast, the good shepherd considers what is best for his sheep, what will enrich, what will nourish, what will give them a full life. Jesus, the good shepherd, says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Then there's the hired hand, the man who's paid to do the job and does it only because he is paid. He has no particular care for the sheep, so when the wolf comes, he's off. He flees, and the sheep are killed or scattered. Again, we have the contrast with the good shepherd, who will lay down his life for his sheep. Here is the supreme mark of goodness that can be seen. It's sacrificial love, which we see displayed superlatively in Jesus himself. This is the love that gives to the utmost, that gives freely, that gives voluntarily, without limit and without reserve. Now we turn to the other picture, the gate of the sheepfold. Jesus is not only the shepherd of the sheep, but also he's the gate of the sheepfold. He says, "I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Now, the sheepfold in those days was a very simple affair. It was an enclosed space, often large enough to contain a number of different flocks, but there was only one entrance. Into this fold, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, brings his flock. And who are these sheep for whom he lays down his life? They're not simply those of his own nation, for he declares in verse 16, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus' mission and purpose was to embrace the whole of mankind. And here is the inclusiveness of the gospel. The Good Shepherd is the Savior of the world. All Christ's sheep, whether Jews or Gentiles, whatever their race or color or class, must enter the fold by the one door, and that door is Jesus himself. See that just as there is one shepherd, so there is also one door, or gate, both words are used. In relation to his church, Jesus is both. Perhaps that may sound a bit odd, so here is something that may help. Dr. Campbell Morgan was a famous preacher and minister of Westminster Chapel. He once crossed the Atlantic, accompanied by the distinguished Bible scholar Sir George Adam, name dropping all round, who told, Sir George told this story. When he was travelling in the Middle East, he met a shepherd with his flock, who showed him the sheepfold where the sheep were put at night, just four walls and a way in. "But there's no door," said Sir George. "How can they be safe in there?" And the shepherd answered, "I am the door." He was not a Christian, nor was he acquainted with the New Testament. He was simply speaking from the viewpoint of an Arab shepherd. And the shepherd explained, "When the light is fading and all the sheep are inside, I lie down in the gap. No sheep ever goes out but across my body, and no wolf comes in unless it crosses my body, for I am the door." And that simple narrative illustrates the twofold claim that Jesus makes in this passage. He himself is both the shepherd of his flock and the door of the sheepfold. Take time to think on the wonderful assurances that, as a member of Christ's flock, are yours. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows you by name. He leads you day by day through this life. You are so precious to him that he guards you with his life. Freely and of his own choice, he's laid down his life for you. So it is right that in this Easter season, we rejoice that our risen Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Still the good shepherd of his flock. Amen.